Hi, everyone. Welcome to the MRP Tech Podcast. This is episode 132. My name is Matt, and this is the weekly podcast discussing everyday tech for everyday people. In this week's episode, it'll be the second week in a row that I've opened up the mic on the Discord room, and we are sort of live in our Discord chat room as we record this episode for release. So I'm going to try to keep doing that in the future. And if you'd like to drop by our Discord chat room at any point in time during the week, it's always quite active. So you can go to mrptechreviews.com and hit the Discord button, and that'll bring you right to our chat room. This week, I'm going to start the show off with an email. This email comes from JT, who has written into the show a while back. He wanted to say hello again. He says, hello, I hope all is well. I wanted to ask you if you've had any experience with Ampachi or Modisha OS. I'm slowly building new content for the streaming CMS and wanted to ping you on the new toy. Well, JT, I sent you an email back. Thanks for writing into the show. I have not heard of Ampachi at all. If you are curious about it, it is a web-based audio-video streaming application and file manager allowing you to access your music and videos from anywhere using almost any internet-enabled device. My very first look at it reminded me a whole lot about Plex. It's set up very similar to Plex. And I was actually curious if it was a Plex spinoff. I did a little research. It turns out that it is not a Plex spinoff. And apparently I've been living under a rock because this has been around since 2001. It's completely free and open source. You can browse and manage your music collection through a simple web interface. You can stream your music to your preferred player. You control it with local play or directly listen on any web page as long as it has HTML5. And you can listen to your music from your phone, tablet, TV, at home, at work, on vacation, whatever you want to do. It looks like it is a very well-polished media player. And I have not had a chance to try it yet, but it is something that is now on my radar. So I appreciate JT bringing this up. The other thing that he mentioned in his email is Modisha OS. When I first took a look at it, the name sounded familiar. I wasn't sure if I had actually heard about it before, but I think Modisha OS was mentioned by the Door-to-Door Geek in either Linux for the Rest of Us or DDG just recently within the last few shows. This is an Italian Linux distribution basically meant for multimedia professionals. And again, this looks very well polished. It looks beautiful. I have not had a chance to try it out yet. It was something that was on my radar when I listened to those podcasts within the last few weeks. It really doesn't seem like it was all that long ago. I don't have an episode number. I tried to look for it, but if I'm incorrect and it wasn't on that on those shows, then I might come back in a week or two and do a show on it myself. JT, thanks for writing in. I always appreciate when listeners write in and say hello, even if it was been a while or you haven't written in. I always appreciate it. If you'd like to write into the show, if you're listening and have a topic, or if you have something you want me to bring up, go ahead and email me mrptechreviews@gmail.com. Or you can join our Discord chat room and just bring it up there, because I'm always anxious to learn new things. And speaking of new things, this week, well, I should say over the last few months, I've really been seeking the need for a mobile app that will act as an OBS remote. Now, on iOS, there really isn't anything available. On Android, there was an OBS remote app that I could not get to work on my Amazon Kindle. And I figured it was just because of the Kindle that it wasn't working. And we've had a conversation in Discord about OBS and an OBS remote. And one of the things that Door-to-Door Geek brought to my attention was OBS Tablet Remote, which is a web app that has solved all of my problems as far as a mobile remote for OBS. So if you are someone who uses OBS for live streaming and you find that changing scenes is cumbersome or bulky. And it's difficult to do with a laptop. If you've ever had that situation, you know what I'm talking about. Check out OBS Tablet Remote. It's a web app. You need to have OBS WebSocket installed first. It's very easy. You can install it on Windows, Mac, Linux, and basically you download the file and install it, and it's ready to go. The OBS Tablet web app, you can find, just Google that, and I believe it's the first or second item that shows up in the web search, and almost connects instantly. You need to have both devices on the same network, but then they should find each other relatively easy. I did have some, first of all, when I first tried it, it was on Mac, and it connected flawlessly from my iPad, from my iPhone, from my Kindle. Everything I tried to throw at it, I tried to make it crash, it would not crash. When I tried to go on Linux, for some reason at first it was not connecting. It turned out to be a firewall issue. Once I installed GUFW, turned off the firewall, and it worked. So then I just created a workaround and just opened the ports that needed to be opened on the firewall, and was all set. So that made me really happy yesterday after spending the weekend shoveling about 16 inches of snow and dealing with temperatures with wind chills up to negative 35 degrees. So it gave me a little project to work on yesterday inside where it was nice and warm. So with that said, once again, I'm bringing up a topic that was brought up in the Discord room, because this has been brought up more than once. And this week's episode, I'm going to talk about open source and using open source on mobile devices like iOS and Android. Now, Android itself is open source, but a lot of the layers put on top of it is not. And depending on which version of Android you're using, your mileage may vary with some of this stuff. But one of the things that was brought up earlier this week was something called FDroid. Now, what FDroid is, it's an installable catalog of free and open source software applications for the Android platform. It's basically a client that makes it easy to browse, install, and keep track of updates on your device. Now, it's very similar to the Google Play Store. So think of it as another app store. You can search for specifically open source software on the Android platform. So one of the things that I did is, or was doing over the last few weeks, I've been sort of looking for a way to revive my Kindle Fire 8. Now, my Kindle Fire was something, I think it was a Christmas present from my wife a while back. And the reason what I wanted to get it was because I wanted to mess around with Android for a little bit. I'm not usually on Android. I didn't really have any Android devices, but I didn't really want to spend a whole lot of money on an Android device. Now, when you first get it, it is basically everything Amazon, but you can install the Google Play Store. And so I did that right away, and it definitely made the device more functional. And over time, like over the last few months, I put I did a whole episode on the Boink software, BOINC. That's the software where you can basically use CPU cycles or whatever you want to call it to do scientific research while you're not using it, and it helps give back to science projects around the world. So I figured I'd let the Kindle do that, and I actually did it quite well. So over the last few weeks, it's basically been doing that for me, but I've still kind of never really picked it up and had a use for it at all, other than maybe Discord or maybe Nextcloud occasionally Facebook or something like that. But I have other mobile devices that do that now. So when FDroid was brought up, it made me think, well, this might be something that I can use my Kindle for. So what I did is, the first thing you have to do if you have an Android device is you have to make sure that you can download from alternate sources. So you have to go in your settings and you have to allow that you can download applications or apps from alternate settings. And then you can install F-Droid on your device. And when I first did it, I didn't really see a whole lot. I opened up the app, not much was there. So my first impressions, I just wasn't really blown away at that point in time. But then I realized that something probably wasn't working right. So I closed the app out a couple of times, and eventually the app repository refreshed and everything came up. It just took a few minutes on the first install to get everything to show. So one of the things I just kind of did at first was I sort of was trying to get used to the layout and what I could find, because I didn't know a whole lot about it. So the first thing that I downloaded was NewPipe. And basically NewPipe is a YouTube alternative or a video playing alternative. And within the first few seconds, I had some issues. My automatic screen rotation got turned off. The app froze up. I had to go into some settings and fix that. But after a couple minutes, it seemed to work itself out, and I haven't had any problems since. But so my first few minutes and first few experiences with F-Droid was not really stellar, to say the least. But as time went on, it sort of grew on me a little bit more, and I have not had any problems since the first day of using F-Droid. Now, there are other apps out there that you can get on F-Droid. From the sounds of the website, you know, you have to be really careful when you're downloading apps from other sources, from, say, the Play Store, and even actually, honestly, the Play Store, you have to be careful of what apps. The Google Play Store does a good job of screening out any apps that might have some malintent. The same thing goes for F-Droid. They try their best to scan it, make sure that these apps are legit and not harmful, but you never know. Something might get through. And so there's a whole list of open source apps. You can have calendar apps, you can have mail apps, you can have RSS reader apps that are all open source. And why would you want to use these? Just like anything else we've been talking about over the last few weeks, when things are open source, more eyes can be on the source code. You know that it's doing exactly what it's supposed to be doing. You know that there are no hidden areas in the code that are going to steal your information. You know that your privacy is secure, and changes can be made if a vulnerability is found. People can submit changes to the source code and fix it at a much faster rate than anything that's closed source. So there are apps available in F-Droid, like A-Metro, which offers offline Metro apps. There, if you're a 4chan reader, there's apps like Clover that allows for reading 4chan posts and allows you to post there too. Things like that a lot of Linux users would know, like KDE Connect, is also available in the App Store, but it's available in F-Droid as well. Things like VLC Remote, you can have encrypted chat apps. You can use things like Riot IM, that's an encrypted group chat. ConnectBot, you can SSH into other machines. And these are all open source applications. Now, along with things like NewPipe, there are also apps such as WebTube. WebTube is not as fully featured as NewPipe. You can't use it to download videos, but you can just watch videos. It's fast, it's lightweight, and has a strong focus on privacy, which I always appreciate. You do not need any of the Google Play services for either of those apps, which is kind of nice because you don't need to be logged in order to watch some videos. Now, along with F-Droid, there is an alternate sort of client app that's called G-Droid that I have heard that many people prefer over F-Droid. It basically is, it basically browses the F-Droid repository or app store. And for some people, it's a little easier to use. I haven't tried it out yet, but I just wanted to bring that up in the show as well. Because any time that we have sort of competition with things like the Google Play Store, I always really like that. And it's interesting to see what the open source community provides as alternatives for, you know, these major app stores. F-Droid has been around since 2010, so it's going on 8 years now. So I don't think it's going anywhere. I think it's around for a while. And I was really kind of impressed. I had never tried it out before. And I hope you, if you're an Android user, that you basically give it a shot at some point in time. Basically, your mileage may vary depending on what device you're using. I haven't really had any problems on the Kindle, which I was kind of expecting, because on the Kindle, the Google Play Store is kind of severely limited in what you can do, the apps that you can use. And just because the Kindle is an Amazon product, it's very low in specs, and it doesn't have a lot of the processing power as other Android tablets. So things like playing games sometimes are a little stuttery on the Kindle Fire, and which I don't spend a whole lot of time playing games anyway. So it's a neat little thing to kind of experiment on. So I'm going to spend a little bit more time on F-Droid, and maybe I'll come back in a future episode, but I thought I'd bring it up on the show because I know some of my friends out there that listen to the show, they're Android users. They may want to check it out. If you are an Android user yourself, you might want to check it out. Definitely worth a shot. And if you have good things to say about it, bad things to say about it, send me an email. I'd be curious on what sort of progress you're making with F-Droid. Now I want to take a right turn, and we've talked about Android. I want to take a right turn and sort of talk about something a little bit different, open source on iOS. Now, years ago, Apple decided to make their programming language for Mac OS, iOS, and watchOS, tvOS, that programming language decided to make it open source. So we're talking about Swift now. They tried to make the Swift code writing interactive and fun. They tried to make it include modern features that developers love to use. They try to make it as safe as they can by design, but it also produce software that's really fast. So you can learn Swift on Mac, you can learn Swift on iOS devices, and as I mentioned earlier, it's all open source. You can learn about the project by going to developer.apple.com/Swift if you're interested in learning how to write apps using the Swift platform. Now, I was sort of stunned a little bit when it came to some of the apps that were available on iOS in the Apple App Store that were open source. So first of all, without jailbreaking your device, there's really no alternate app store. So you can get alternate app stores like the Cydia App Store. It was one that I used years ago when I first jailbroke my first iOS device. I think it was my iPod Touch way back in the day. You can get those alternate app stores, but you have to do that process first. So we're not going to talk about the jailbreaking today. We're just going to talk about what's available in the App Store itself. Things like Firefox. Everybody knows Firefox. The Firefox iOS app was built with Swift, and a lot of these apps that I'm actually going to talk about were built in Swift. I don't use Firefox a whole lot, but I just downloading it today and putting it on my iPad, I think I might give it a little bit more time in trying, because Chrome really hasn't been impressing me a whole lot lately, and I think I'm maybe ready for a switch back to Firefox. Another Swift app that I use a lot, and this app has improved tremendously over the last year or so, is the WordPress for iOS app, which allows you to make changes to any of your WordPress websites And you don't need to get your laptop out to make a post on your blog, or you need to update a site or that type of thing. And it offers so many features that it just blows me away and has made my life a whole lot easier for updating websites in a short period of time. If I just want to make a quick update, I don't have to go through the process of logging into my website and then making all the changes I need and saving it and then making sure everything's published. I can do it really quick in the app, and it's good from there. There's another app called Artsy that's leading shows and art fairs around the world. I'm not into that stuff, but I think it's pretty neat that this is obviously written in Swift, so they've made it open source. There's games that are open source, like Flappy for iOS, if you're into that type of thing. Another app that's available, Wire for iPhone and iPad, basically a video chat service. There's VPN services that are open source. You can turn your VPN on and off. Things like WeChat, it's a WeChat clone written in Swift. My new favorite thing that I found, and again, I haven't had a whole lot of time to mess around with this, something called AudioKit. And it is an open source audio synth processing and analysis platform built on Swift. This thing, if you're a music geek, this thing is ridiculously awesome. And if you're looking for a synthesizer for iPad, check it out. It's called AudioKit, and I used it for a few minutes, and I was in pure musical heaven enjoying this app. So check that out. Also open source. Pretty awesome. Now, there are some other things here. I mentioned Firefox for iOS. Things like Nextcloud Talk. Now, I have a Nextcloud instance on my Raspberry Pi. Nextcloud and Nextcloud Talk, both of those apps available for iOS. Both of those are open source. They're also available for Android and Linux as well. But just the fact that these services that are out there are available, it's pretty awesome. If you don't like Nextcloud and you're using OwnCloud, that app is also open source. The official Wikipedia app is open source, also available on Android and Kindle and that type of thing. Again, the VLC media player for iOS, open source. The White House app, open source. There's a lot of things that have come up over the last few years that are open source apps, including some really cool Linux games that were once games just that you could find in the Linux app stores, like Battle for Westnoth. I just realized that that's available on iOS now. It's pretty awesome. So there's a lot of great things. And I'm going to put a bunch of links in the show notes for both Android, F-Droid, and iOS that are all open source apps that you can take a look at, whether it's the 2048 game or two-factor authenticator apps. And the list just really goes on and on and on. And one of the things that I want to take a look at, in the past I've said that I like to use open source software. I like to use it on, I like using Linux. When I'm using Windows, I like to use open source software. If I'm on Mac, I like to use open source software. Well, I've never really dove too deep with open source software on mobile devices, and it looks like it has come quite a long way. There's a lot available. And so, again, your mileage might vary on what your needs are, but the ability to use open source over something that is closed source is something that I think is needed. And I think just having that option available, having the open source option as even a plan B for your daily needs, would be really neat. Now, there's a lot of closed source apps that I use that occasionally they change something and it drives me nuts. Well, just like anything, apps change, apps move forward. But, you know, I could probably email a developer of an open source project and ask for features or ask for changes to be made and that type of thing. And the likelihood of that happening is much more great than it is with a closed source app. So anyway, today's show is all about using iOS, using Android, trying to keep that open source method, that open source option available to you all and giving you all other options besides just what you see in the Google Play Store or just what you see in the Apple Store. These are real options. People are spending time, effort, and money to make these available for you. And the only way to make them more popular is to talk about them for a bit. So that's going to do it for this week's show. I want to thank everybody in the Discord room for cluing me in on some of this stuff because I'm not an Android user very much. And so it was nice to kind of check out an Android project here and talk about it for a little bit. I always enjoy hearing from everybody in Discord, and it's always a great time all week long, even in between shows. So check out that. If you go to my website, mrptechreviews.com, you can click the Discord button. That's going to bring you right to our chat room. Speaking of Discord, what I would like to do at some point in time is have an open session with everybody in the Discord room on voice chat and basically allow a sort of roundtable discussion of anything tech. And at some point in time, I want to find out when the best time to do that would be. I know we have listeners all around the world and try to sort of, I don't want anybody to be up in the middle of the night. I don't want anybody to be up really early in the morning. So it's just a matter of logistics, whether it would be better to have this on a weekend sometime or during the week, what would be better. And if you have ideas for that, let me know. You can either put it in the chat room or send me an email. I want to thank Podnuts for producing the show and making sure it gets out where it needs to do or needs to be every week. So thanks to Podnuts for doing that. Go over, check out all the great shows at podnuts.com. And that's going to do it for this week. Thanks everybody for listening. We will see you next time.